What Brandon was doing as we were worshiping the Lord is something that just blesses the socks off me. It blesses my heart because I've been really, really enjoying songs these days, just enjoying different music and songs. And I listened to one of my favorite artists these days is a gal by the name of Melissa Hessler. And Melissa just delights my heart on so many levels because of her own testimony, her own life, and some of the struggles that she goes through on a daily basis. And yet she presses through in worship and it really touches me deeply. And but there was one song she was doing on revival and the room was filled with young people and they were just going for it, you know, and that was the kind of energy I saw in Brandon. And I just really appreciated that. So, I want to just change my screen here if I can. I'm going to go to gallery view and see what happens here. There, that's better because now I get to see more faces. I want to see more faces. So I'm gonna travel rather quickly this morning because much of what I want to say, I want to underline because so much of it has already been said. I so appreciate every one of you. And I just feel like I could sit and listen to everyone. Like there's not one of you that couldn't just keep going and we could just be washed over continuously. It's so beautiful. I was on my way one time to speak. I was a Bible college student and I was on my way to speak at a Pentecostal church in a place called I don't know because I forgot the name of it. I was working in group homes in the Niagara Peninsula and so it was in the near, it was like it's coming to me but I never thought to even mention the name, so forget that I even said that. But I'm on my way to speak in the evening service and I'm just a student. I'm doing a short internship at this church and I'm scheduled to speak in the evening service. So I get on my motorcycle and I head, all these homes that I was working in were in the country, so I'm heading by motorcycle to this church service, and I come up upon these train tracks that actually separate the town. Like there's no way you can get into the town without crossing these train tracks. And there was this train. I've never seen a longer train, to my knowledge, ever seen a longer train, nor a slower train. And so I'm sitting there. I'm really thinking that I'm not going to make the service, you know. And here, I'm just going to turn off that. So I'm thinking I'm not going to make this service. And it was a real lesson to me. You know, like it spoke to me on different levels. But I just to fast forward, I did make the service. Okay, I did. But what I learned from this experience was something really, really sweet. Is that if I don't get to speak, if I don't get to share, if it's life, and I really appreciated Barb's emphasis on life, because if it's life to me, then you get to hear that message. Whether you hear me speak it or whether you hear me live it, you'll get to hear that message. And so that's the way I approach this time in the Word and the time preparing a message, is that if there's life on it and it's life to me, then it's an honor and a privilege to be able to share it. But if I don't get to that point, it's worked something in me and something precious. So I want to just really go through really quickly. Last time I spoke from Isaiah 57:15, a very important scripture. This is a time, this COVID-19 time is incredibly important. I want to underline that about 1,000 times if I can. This COVID-19 time is incredibly important. It's important to you right now and it's important to me. Isaiah 57:15 says this, "For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." This really touches me deeply, especially this last part, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So the first thing I want to say about the scripture, first of all, is that during this COVID-19 time, both aspects of what are being spoken about here in Isaiah are incredibly important that we understand. Now, first of all, it says, "For thus saith the Holy One, thus saith the High and Lofty One, the one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." How many want to hear what he has to say? "Thus saith the Lord." That's what Isaiah is saying here. Many years ago, a prophet by the name of Paul Cain was asked this question. It was a simple question. He was asked, "What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord saying?" Now, that's a really important question. It's one we need to ask ourselves, and we need to be asked, what is the Lord saying? This was Paul Cain's answer. He said, not as much as most people are saying, but more than most people are ready to listen to. Very important word. You know, there are words that stick with you, and that's one word that has stuck with me all these years. The scriptures this morning, and if I don't get to all of them, I want you to just take some time with Isaiah 57:15 and Mark chapter 4. Those are the texts for this morning. So Isaiah 57:15 and Mark chapter 4. Very, very important. It says in Mark 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, then he taught them many things by parables. Okay, he taught them by parables. The word parable means, it comes from the idea to set alongside. A parable is to set alongside. Jesus used parables to set spiritual truth along daily in daily life and in daily situations and daily circumstances. Now, COVID-19 is like a storm, and that's going on. We can liken it to a storm. But I wanted to say this, COVID-19, like the storm that we're going to see in a moment in Mark chapter 4, is more than an unfortunate set of circumstances. This is probably important. This is like one of those thoughts that I had that just really kind of resonated in my spirit, was that COVID-19 is more than a set of unfortunate circumstances. Just like this storm was more than a set of an unfortunate circumstance for these disciples to go through. Very important that we recognize this. Otherwise, we're going to handle COVID-19 as, you know, with our minds, and we're going to try to figure it out. We're going to try to, you know, but there's something of a parable, something that the Lord wants to teach us during this time that he has us aside. He wants to use it like a parable to actually work very, very deeply in our lives. I was floating around some music last night going around because I was with, actually, this Melissa Hessler is part of a group, and I didn't write it down, so I won't be able to remember the full name, but they're like Uncaged Birds? Yeah. Something like Uncaged Birds. I like that. Okay, so Uncaged Birds. But then there was another part of this that said 18 inches or something. It was part of the title, something like Uncaged Birds, 18 inches. And I knew exactly what they were talking about. Do you know what they were talking about, 18 inches? They were talking about the distance from the head to the heart. That's what they were talking about, and their music, you know, and in this particular song. So if you think about snapshots of COVID-19, if you think of snapshots from your own life, I got to keep closing a screen here so I can see all your faces. I want you to think of some snapshots that this time has given you. Okay, I'll give you a couple of mine. Lineups. Okay, and that's yours as well. You can get some snapshots from lineups, but you know that lineups cause us to really slow down, don't they? Have you tried, I'm going to ask this, okay? I want you to raise your hand if this is you. Have you tried to rush into the store when there's a lineup? Have you tried to get in there as soon as possible when there's a lineup? Anybody? Raise your hand. You just can't, you can't move until the guy at the front tells the person that they're able to go in, right? You know, the other thing about COVID-19, about the lineups, is I notice the person in front of me. You notice that? I actually walk around a little bit on my spot, and I notice the person behind me too, you know? And these are like, it's like a, you know, that book that was written, if this were a dream, what would it mean? If this were a dream, what would it mean? When you're standing there, forced to be incredibly patient, but also time to contemplate, time to think, time to pray, time to be at peace, you know, because, I mean, rushing it is not going to do anything. I only saw one guy upset so far. He was in a parking lot. That's the only guy I saw, and I was praying for him, you know, because I thought, oh, you know, we don't know. It's like they say, you know, like, be kind, because you don't know what kind of battle another man is fighting, you know, but so I don't judge him, but I haven't seen a lot of that particular behavior, but I am going to talk about COVID fatigue in a minute, COVID-19 fatigue. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. So there's a line from a Bible study that I saw, an InterVarsity Bible study, and the title was, I wanted to just take it, but I'll give a little bit of credit, and then I went around the internet and I saw, well, different ones are using the same phrase, so I mean, I think I could use it for the title of my message this morning, and it's just simply tilling the heart. Tilling the heart. And this is what's happening in Mark chapter 4. It can be considered tilling the heart. There's something being tilled here. Proverbs 4:19 is one of my life scriptures, one of my life verses. And I've told you Hosea 6:3 is one, but Proverbs 4:19, above all else, guard your heart, For from it proceed the, you know, everything flows from it. One translation says, or from it come the springs of life, you know, proceed the springs of life from our hearts. So it says watch over or guard or be diligent to watch over your hearts because everything comes from them. And we know that pressure produces something. It really does. You know, when the pressure is imposed upon us, something begins to come out. You press something hard enough, something's going to pop out, right? And this is something of what's going on here. But in this parable and in this time, God is really interested in our hearts. He's very interested in our hearts. And I think if I didn't say anything else this morning, you've heard me say it a million times because I only have one message. You know, I don't seem to have very many messages. I just have this message that, and John Bunyan had it too. He said, I'd rather have a heart without words than words without a heart. I'd rather have a heart without words than words without a heart. And so I'm not going to have anything if this heart is unclean. I'm not going to have anything, you know, if this heart is not clean, it's not right with the Lord, if it's not right with people, then I have nothing to give. The pressure you put on me is not going to produce good results, you know. And so watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it are going to come these springs. And this is another thing about COVID-19 is this is unto something. This is unto something. This is, and that's the thing about, I think I have an, maybe it's coming up. I don't know if I gave it, if I had the definition here. Let me just take a quick peek here. But I'll get to it in a minute. Here we are. The definition of tilling. I wanted to give you that definition. It means to prepare and cultivate land for crops. That's what tilling does. It's to prepare and cultivate the land for crops. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we're talking about here. We think it's so inconvenient. But God has this, you know, he takes our this inconvenient time and he says, I want to till your heart. I want to do a deep work in your heart. I want to give you tears because you haven't even wept a tear in a long, long time, you know, and I want to give you a tear. You know, I want to give you a heart. I want to begin to take out those bitter roots. I want you to begin to look at people differently. I want you to pray differently. I want you to walk differently because when you come out of this, it's about crops. It's about crops. And we want good crops, and we want to have our hearts cultivated. So Proverbs 4:19, don't waste time. It's training. You know, Augustine put it this way. St. Augustine said this. He said, "Work diligently the soil while you may." This is important, because times pass, and that's why I tell people. I say, reading the scripture today is different than reading the scripture yesterday. It really is. You know, somebody said that the book of Revelation is going to be understood best when we're going through it. And that makes a lot of sense to me. And so it is that scripture has this particular way of ministering to us in the midst of it. So Augustine says, work diligently the soil while you may. This is a period of time. It's going to pass. I don't know what it's going to look like. I highly doubt it's going to look like it did before we came into this thing. And I think you would agree with that. It's going to look differently. But Augustine said, work diligently the soil while you may. Break up your fallow with the plow, cast away the stones from your fields, and dig out the thorns. Be unwilling to have a hard heart. Such makes the word of God of no effect. A hard heart makes the word of God absolutely of no effect. Only a soft heart can receive the word of God. Be unwilling to have a thin layer of soil in which the root of divine love can find no depth in which to enter. Be unwilling to choke the good seed by the cares and lusts of this life when it is being scattered for your good. And there is a scattering of seed for our good right now. Mark 4:24. This is where I'm going to fly because I'm not going to cover all of these verses, but I want to give you a few in Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, it says, consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully what you hear. He continues, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you even more. This is such an important principle in the Word of God. With the measure you use, you will be meted out. It will be measured out even more. It's a principle of faithfulness. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. It's a principle of doing with what we have. How many have you heard the person say when they win the lottery, they're going to do this, that, or the other thing? What? You don't buy lottery tickets? No. You know, we've heard people say, when I have the money, you know, I'm going to do this. I've had people give me elaborate. I remember one guy gave me this elaborate thing about orphanages and all this kind of stuff. When he had this money, all the stuff he was going to do with it. But that's not what the scripture says, you know, that those that are faithful with little will be entrusted with more. And so we are entrusted with something, and this hearing is part of it. If we will hear in the little things, and if we will hear, then God will add more to our hearing so that we're hearing more. I used to always envy Tony Campolo, you know, because he would have these amazing stories. You know, he would just tell these stories. I mean, oh my goodness, the prostitute's birthday party. That's my favorite. I mean, there are incredible stories that he tells. And you know what I discovered was that Tony Campolo is not all that unique. He just has a heart and an eyes to see around him, a willingness to observe and to step into situations. And then a story comes out of it. Listen to Graham when he comes back from his traveling. You know, he's got airplane stories. You know, he's got airport stories. You know, because his heart is receptive to what's around him, and he's got eyes to see. And the Bible says that if we will hear and we will listen in the small things, God will begin to add even more to us. So how we respond is critical. This is what it says in the NLT study notes. Okay. It says, God reveals truth to people who will act on it and make it visible in their lives. He reveals truth to those who will act on it and make it visible in their lives. Isn't that beautiful? I was in a church. Talk about remembering things from 100 years ago. I was in a church near the Niagara Peninsula, same area where I did my internship. And I was working in group homes for kids. And I'm in this home. And I got to remember the story I'm going to tell. Which one am I telling? We went to a church in Niagara Falls, a fellowship in Niagara Falls. What an honor. Every single Sunday, we got to drive by the falls. It was beautiful. Every Sunday, I drove by Niagara Falls on my way to church. So we get to church, and one Sunday, this guy, he would preach, and he'd walk up and down the aisles. It's kind of like Marvin. Marvin never wanted to sit down and preach. He wanted to walk up and down the aisles, and this guy would walk up and down the aisles, and he said something that has stuck with me to this very day. He said this. He said, it's the word that you act upon that changes your life. It's the word that you act upon that changes your life. And if you will do that, God will add. He is so faithful to add. He's an adder. You know, that's not a word. He's one that just loves. He's the lavish God. You know, he's the one in James that we pray when we pray for wisdom. We don't just have, God, would you give me a little measure of wisdom? I can't believe over all these years as a Christian how much he has lavished wisdom on us when we have asked. I've been in meetings where we didn't have a clue which way to go. And we're talking and we're strategizing. We're doing all this and we pray for wisdom. And all of a sudden, like rain, it comes to us. Clarity comes into the room and we begin to have something we didn't have before we prayed for that. That's adding. That's what he does. And he wants to add to us. So I'm not going to go much further, but I want to go just a little further. Hang with me just for another couple of minutes. Let's go down to Mark chapter 4, verse 37. A fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. That's what it says in Mark 4, 37. John Wesley tells the story, and many of you have heard it, so I won't rehearse the whole story, but he was on a ship with the Moravians, I have kind of a heart for the Moravians, because I think some of my ancestors came from that area, but the Moravians were a special group of people. They were believers, but they had this relationship, this understanding of God, which was very, very close and very, very dear and very precious. So John Wesley was an Anglican priest, an Anglican minister, and he was on his way over to America, and he was going to, you know, he was religious, but he didn't have what the Moravians had. And so they went through the storm, and this is what happened. But there's a quote from his journal, from John Wesley's journal, that I wanted to give you, but it says here, and it's very similar to Mark. It says, Mark's gospel, it says, the sea broke over us. It split the main sail in pieces. It covered the ship and poured in between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed it up. A terrible screaming came among the English. The Germans, and I have in brackets the Moravians, calmly sang on. They calmly sang on. I asked one of them afterwards, were you not afraid? He answered, I thank God, no. I asked, but were not your women and children afraid? He replied mildly, no, our women and children are not afraid to die. So John Wesley wrote this in his journal. He said, this was the most glorious day that I have seen. This was the most glorious day that I have seen. I believe that people will speak of this parable in this time as a glorious day because of what the Lord is doing. That this is a glorious day in the midst of a storm. You know, that we won't even get to Jesus asleep, you know. But, you know, you couldn't have a greater measure of peace. And you know that peace is my all-time favorite fruit of the Holy Spirit. You couldn't have had a greater measure of peace than to have the Prince of Peace right there in the boat. Right there with them in the boat during the storm. Right there with them in the boat. You can draw, you can, you know, join the dots. I don't have to preach on every single point here because it's so important that we understand the Prince of Peace is with us. Bob and Lois, you are not alone. You're not alone in that living room, you beautiful people. Larry and Myrna, I see you there, and it's so nice to see you. You're not alone in that living room. The Prince of Peace, Larry, he's with you right there, isn't he? And I bounced over to another Larry, but he's with both Larrys. And Brandon, he's right there with you, the Prince of Peace. He's right there with you. And so where do I end? Let's go to COVID exhaustion. Let's talk about COVID exhaustion. And this is where I'll end, okay, just on this note. Lots more. Mark chapter 4, verse 38 says this. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Beautiful picture, beautiful picture. So I want to talk about exhaustion. And Jesus was exhausted. There's no question about it. If you read earlier in Mark chapter 4, my goodness, he just gave himself 2,000%, 1,000,000%. He just gave himself and he was exhausted. When his head hit the pillow, he was asleep. There's nothing wrong with exhaustion. There's nothing wrong with being tired. But Hebrews 4:15 says this. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses or to empathize with our weaknesses. But in every respect, because in every respect he was tempted as we are, yet without sin." You see, the difference is when Lazarus died, when Lazarus died, what are we doing here? I want to look at you guys. Here we go. When Lazarus died, Jesus wept. But he because of his humanity, he was fully human and fully God, right? Fully human and fully God. He wept, but he also knew what was going to happen to Lazarus. He knew, he knew Lazarus would be raised from the dead. But Jesus in his humanity wept, When Gore died, and I learned that morning that he had passed away, I cried. And I've told you before, I don't cry easily, but I think those were the most tears in this whole journey that I've had in this last few months. But as I began to read the scriptures, they seemed to pop out at me. The familiar ones were there, like 1 Thessalonians, where it says that we don't grieve like others who have no hope. That's an incredible scripture. We don't grieve like those who have no hope. Get these screens popping up. And then I would read other scriptures that talk about our salvation and what is coming, what is coming into our lives because of what Jesus has done for us. And these are more than just Sunday school scriptures. They're more than just the bread box promises that we read and we get good feelings about. And they are our life. They are life to us. They are truth. They are the reality in which we live. I live by a scripture out of Job now, that says simply in the NLT translation, it says, "I have only a few days to live. I have only a few days to live." And I'll tell you, looking at all of you as well, you only have a few days to live. Now it's poetry. Don't get ahead of me here. It's poetry, and it means that life is brief. It's very brief. From the youngest, I'm looking at the two Brandons here, the young guys, all the way to us, gray-haired. I'll pick Ken just because you're right in front of me. And there's this brevity, and yet there's this, what are we going to do with this? So where am I ending here? COVID-19 fatigue. So it says in Galatians 6:9, not to become weary, Galatians 6:9, not to become weary in well-doing, but in the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. This is so important. This is all about this parable we're in right now. And the idea that we're not to grow weary in this time. We're not to grow weary in this time because in due season, we're going to reap a harvest. There's going to be a reaping that's coming. And it's going to come out of your own personal life. It's going to come out of our community and our communities. It's going to come out of the body of Christ. There's going to be a great reaping. It's going to come out of this time, which is not the final story. What's going on is not the final story, but it's building towards something. So I want to talk about one aspect, and that's it. I keep telling you I'm going to end. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, this is a tactic of the enemy, because if you experience fatigue, one of the reasons that we experience fatigue is because of our thought life. Our thought life will produce fatigue in our lives. I guarantee you. You want to get fatigued? I'll show you how. I'll give you some thoughts that you don't want to be thinking that will actually bring you down. You know, you watch too much of the news. Did you hear last night? I didn't get the whole, there was a meteor that came within, several million miles. But I mean, that was pretty close, you know. So, but I mean, if you went to bed, you know, some people go to bed thinking about this stuff and they don't sleep well, you know. So there are better thoughts that we can have. And so it says in Daniel 7, verse 25, it says this of the enemy. It says, he shall speak out against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And this is why this scripture is so important. The scripture in Mark is because it speaks of the power of our God. It's a great scripture that speaks of Isaiah 57:15, that not only was he that intimate one in the boat, not only was he the one that they walked with and had a relationship with, and he was flesh and blood that they touched. And John, you know, John is my best picture of the most beautiful picture of Isaiah 57:15, where he leans onto the very, you know, the very heart of Jesus, you know, at the Last Supper, and he hears his heartbeat. And then in Revelation, he falls at his feet as a dead man when he sees him. We got to have both of these pictures of God. You know, some people who just do the chummy chummy thing with God don't have a clue. In fact, Peter's ministry began after Jesus did an incredible miracle. He did an incredible miracle of producing all these fish out of nothing. And you know Peter's response? He says, "Get away from me, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me, Jesus, I'm a sinful man." That was the beginning of Peter's ministry. And that's going to be the beginning of our lives, where the softening of God and where repentance comes and we're willing to say sorry. You know, don't escape it. As soon as there's a small conviction, hop on that and ask God's forgiveness. You know, the forgiveness of God is unlike anything else, and it leads to so much. But if we skip that process, if we skip that, then we skip the relationship with God that he intends us to have. We bypass something that's absolutely not the gospel. It's not the fullness of what Jesus died to give us. The full gospel, which is that conviction of sin, the repentance and the forgiveness of our sins, and then a living our lives where you know, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It matters. How I treat Valerie matters. I'm not the perfect husband. She can come over here and tell you some stories, but I tell you, I have knees, you know, and then I have a mouth, you know. I have knees to repent before the Lord, and I have a mouth to ask my wife's forgiveness, you know, because it says, and I believe it's in Peter, that our prayers can be hindered if we don't live in an understanding way. That's not just with our wives. That's with one another. Okay, where do I end? Let me try to see if I have a good story to end with. Here's a great story. When I was with YWAM, this is where I'm going to end. Because I believe COVID-19 I'm not theologically, I'm not telling you who started COVID-19, you know, and there are many, many, I have such empathy for those that are suffering. But you know, I also know that God is on his throne. You know, he's not left his throne. He is sovereign. Psalm 93 is one of my favorite psalms, you know, and it says three times, mightier than, and it talks about a storm. Read it. It's a very short psalm, Psalm 93, and the psalmist says three times in the opening verses, he says, mightier than this, mightier than this, mightier than this is our God. And we need that picture of a God who is mighty, and we're not going to be chummy. We're going to be more like John, you know, when we encounter that side of that person and that powerfulness of God. But he also dwells with the contrite and the broken in heart. And this is where we meet him. We meet him in that place where he convicts us, and we go to him and say, Lord, we according to John 1:7, we confess our sins. He's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know any high like the high of forgiveness and the high of his love, you know, and his willingness to forgive us. Here's my story. I'm in YWAM. I'm just a teenager. And I'm at the first YWAM base in Dunham, Quebec, the first Canadian base, and it was run by a man by the name of Uli Korch. And Uli was an incredible man. I mean, I just have such a fond memory of him, but this is the story I remember more than anything else. We were in the cafeteria, and we had YWAM had these huge gardens. They had planted these gardens, and they were full of crop. They were just full of all kinds of vegetables and dependent. The base was dependent on this food for sustenance. And so it began to hail. And I'm not talking, I'm talking golf, you know, golf balls are bigger. And we're talking hail that would absolutely destroy the gardens. They would be gone. You know that that's that happens. And it would be gone in just moments. It would be gone. Uli Korch got up in the midst of our gathering and he took authority over the storm in the name of Jesus. And I felt the power of God just drench that room. And I've never seen a miracle like that in my life where instantaneously it stopped. Just like that, the gardens were spared. No more hail. And I tell you, you think that would leave you kind of, well, you know, it doesn't leave you chummy with God. It leaves you in a way that you stand in awe and fear of Him. The kind of awesomeness, the fear of God is an awesome understanding and respect for who He is in His greatness and His power. John understood that on the island of Patmos, and we need to understand that. And yet at the same time, he dwells with the humble, the contrite in heart. We've been going through Floyd McClung. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He wants to release grace. So Lord, I pray that this community that we are a part of right here, every single one on this call, Lord, every single one is a person that you want to release your grace to, Lord. You want to release the grace of God, that amazing grace, Lord. Lord, you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. We want to position ourselves. I love the story that Vi told me, that she just would sit before you with her hands open in prayer. She would sit posturing herself under your sovereignty and your greatness and your love. So Lord, help us to take that posture, Lord, and to humble ourselves and to be recipients of your amazing grace, Lord, at every turn. And help us, Lord, to practically guard these hearts. Lord, help us to guard these hearts. Don't let them get cluttered with people, with resentment, anger, judgments, Lord. Don't let those things stay in our hearts. Lord, let us be quick to rid ourselves of these things. And Lord, make us good hearers, Lord, as Barb was talking about, Lord. And Lord, I know you're going to add to every one of our community, Lord. You're going to add because we're committed to hearing, Lord, and to acting upon the word that we hear. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I love you guys too. And it is a mosaic of beauty right here. And grace to you and peace. Amen.